Every morning we burn the bread, walk it down to the water's edge, see the seagulls eat cigarettes, check your breath in a spoon, all your stuff in the storage shed, twisted sheets on the trundle bed.
We got bored, so we started a podcast about the best band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap Podcast. We are your steadiest stream of the unified scene of all the news and reviews of the best bar band in the world, the Hold Steady. Hello, everybody. I am stage right Mike. I thought the Midwest would be best, so that's kind of where I've been hanging out. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, our very own Unified Scenes King of Queens, Gasper. Gasper, how are you doing today?
How's it going, man? It's going to be a confusing one because now we have two mics on the mic.
Yeah, we got two mics on the mic. We're joined by Mike. And so how are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Doing good.
I seen you. You seem like a super fan to me. I was kind of looking at your social media, and it seems like you're all over the place. So,
well, I just put the fun stuff on the socials, right? I mean, nobody wants to see the I'm vacuuming my living room on a Sunday morning on the socials. So, no, it gets all the fun trips to see bands and food and drinks and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the trips to see the music are really what keeps me going, man.
So Mike, actually, we've talked about Mike on the podcast already. If you remember back on the Minnesota episode, Mike is responsible for doing the woos at 7th Street. He started the wooing after every line thing.
Yeah, that buddy and I just, we like the woos. What can we say? Everybody's got a little Ric Flair in them, right?
Exactly.
I think those were the ones that were audible on the Bandcamp recording, weren't they? Or I can't remember now.
I believe so.
Yeah, we I think we were wooing like completely inappropriately, not even waiting for Unpleasant Breakfast.
It was fun though. That was like, I mean, because that was the first show back from COVID, so I think everyone got the sentiment.
Right, and they hadn't played any of those new songs in front of actual people before, and everybody was just so excited.
Right.
That was a fun weekend.
So Mike has been to basically the last three big residencies. I saw him in Nashville. We were hanging out a little bit there, and you also went to Atlanta and also Denver, right?
That's right. It was a pretty good June for seeing the boys in the band.
Yeah. So actually, and you know what? I got caught up with Dallas, and we didn't get to hang out as much as I wanted to in Nashville.
Yeah, but yeah. You guys at the back corner of the bar by the merch stand there. When we got there, and then, you know, shit, it got crazy.
So Mike made these shirts. They were like all white shirts and in black letters, like almost like a Got Milk type thing. It just says woo. And on the back, it's got the picture of Ric Flair. And in the bubble quote, it's the Hold Steady, Stay Positive symbol. So he gave me one of those shirts, which, by the way, thank you. I love that shirt.
Well, and it's, but I mean, I kind of stole the idea because you had one, a very, very similar one on black with, I think, the same graphic in New York.
Right. But mine, like, kind of featured the Ric Flair thing. Yours, like, with the woo on the front, and then he had a bunch of people that he gave the shirts out to, and he had, like, a whole woo crew.
The woo crew.
Like, that's awesome.
In fact, so Mark Kelly, who is one of the guys there, he lives in Minneapolis, and he's one of the crew there, he actually wore that shirt to see Craig the other night solo in St. Paul and had him sign it on the back. And it says, wow, to Woo awesome. Crew, stay positive.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's where we're at with it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I was kind of bummed after seeing the pictures. It's like, oh, man, I should have reconnected. I would have loved to have been with you guys on that whole thing. But
well, now it's fun because you wear them to other shows, right? And so we're not all wearing them together. I guess it was, first night in Denver. I wore it and walked in, and someone connected to the band was like, "You picked the right night to wear the shirt." Which made us excited because we knew we were getting to Woo.
That's great. So why don't we start off with Nashville? Give us your highlights, man.
Nashville's great because I mean, it's just such a fun town. One of the guys there, I mean, I met a bunch of guys that I hang out with as part of that Woo crew by definition in Nashville back in 2019 at the Basement East. So, one of them, Kenny Clark, he lives there in Nashville. So we got in Thursday night and stayed at his house. And he did a big barbecue, you know, smoked a pork shoulder and had all sorts of themed cocktails, during the day. You know, we had the Tecate, we had the tequila, we had the, Diet Dr. Pepper and vanilla vodka and, you know, Bloody Marys and margarita mix. And I think we had everything but the pickle chips over there. Nice. But that was, so it was, you know, Nashville's such a fun town anyhow. So it was great to get back to a town like that that we know and love. But I really like that Brooklyn Bowl venue there in Nashville, right? It's been open mm-hmm. about a year. And I think other even outside the Hold Steady, I've seen probably three or four shows there over the last year.
Okay, cool.
So, Gasper, how'd you think it compared to the original Brooklyn Bowl? I never asked you that question.
So, yeah, the venue is very similar to the Brooklyn Bowl in Brooklyn, but there are some major differences. So one of the ones that stand out initially, one is there's no bowling lane to the right of the stage, so it's wider. It's probably still a 1,500-person venue, but the you're not getting that, you know, strike.
Right. Well, and I think the way the room's laid out, like you said, it's a much wider room. It's not as deep. Like it's a huge, like there's more room on the floor for people to hang out in, right? And the bowling's further away on the left. It's not like Brooklyn where if you're on that bowling platform, you're practically on the stage, right?
Right.
If you're up towards the front, that just doesn't exist there. I don't know if you noticed, they have bowling on the second floor too,
right?
And up on to the right, and then the full balcony, which is different.
Yes, the balcony actually was kind of really cool. I wish they had that in Brooklyn. It's so basically in the like all over, it's almost like if you've ever been to Bowery Ballroom, there's that balcony that goes like in a U shape. So like if you don't want to be down on the crowd and you want to kind of have a spot, you can go sit up there, which is nice, especially for us older people. As far as the bowling goes, what struck me is, so I don't know if you ever looked at the signs in Brooklyn, but it's $50 a half hour to bowl plus shoes.
Right.
And I saw the sign in Nashville and it's $15 a half hour. And I'm like, wow, we're getting ripped off in New York.
$50. Whoa, my God.
You're paying New York hipster prices. That's what it is. But, you know.
Yeah. And I've bowled there in Nashville before. I was there in December to see a show, and the show I was supposed to give got canceled because somebody in their crew got COVID. So fortunately, Moon Taxi was playing it, at the bowl. So we were able to, you know, have something to do that night, and we ended up bowling most of the night, which was great.
That's cool. I actually want to try to sit in the bowling area in Brooklyn. I want to bring my son. I'm probably going to bring him this year to Massive Nights, at least to the sound check, and we're going to try to get seats up there. It's a little expensive. You got to rent the lane, and it's like $800 for the lane. But if you do it with a bunch of guys, it's probably not too bad.
So are you talking about for the whole night then?
Yeah, that way you kind of have a seat and whatnot.
Yeah,
like I said, I'm old
now. Do you have to wear bowling shoes though?
Right, because there's other than some of those, you know, the tables and seats at the bar when you come in, there's really not much of a place to sit down there.
Right,
like in Nashville, you get that upstairs level.
Well, I'll do it if I get to wear the cool bowling shoes, the red and green bowling shoes. I'll do it then, but that's the only way.
So, give us your top three songs played that night.
In Nashville, Resurrection. You know, anytime they play that one, you gotta love it. You know, that's one of those ones that early on that opening guitar riff just got to me. So anytime they play that, I love it. Oh, let's see. What else did they play that night?
So they opened with Stations, which...
Right, which was great because we hadn't seen him in a while. Let's see. I do like Blackout Sam. That one's always a fun one. Craig always dances well to that one. And then I like Cutters because it's just such a twisted story. Right. I know a lot of people don't like the harpsichord, but I think the lyrics on that one and the story are always worth it.
When there weren't any parties, she'd park by the quarry, walk into the woods until she came to a clearing where townies would gather and drink until blackout, smoke six till they're sick, pack bowls and then pass out. Windows wide open to let the hard rock in. Theirs was a rage that didn't need much convincing. The girls gave her glares, but the boys were quite pleasant. To be totally honest, it didn't seem much different. When there weren't any parties, sometimes she'd party with townies.
I'd always like that one because I feel like it's its own story. You know, and like it's not part of the story scattered through all the other songs. It's a self-contained thing. So and that's always been a favorite.
That's not a very, you don't get that one very often either. You can go to 8 shows and never hear that one. So, yeah.
Right.
Well, and, you know, like we talked about a little, I guess, before we got on kind of what we do, and I work, I'm connected to the criminal justice system. And that line in Cutters about, you know, being fairness and justice, that one always has gotten me.
So any other highlights from Nashville?
We were up front. It was crazy. Like, there was somebody, I caught out, just briefly caught it out of the corner of the eye. It's funny. A couple friends of mine from here in Roanoke, Virginia, where I'm at, we hardly ever see each other in town, but we see each other at Hold Steady shows, right? And so we saw each other. They went to Nashville, and they had them waiting up close with us. Apparently, some drunken buffoon sucker punched Wade during the show. Like, there was one of those, you know, people bouncing around and started jawing and sucker punched him. So we know that the security at the Brooklyn Bowl in Nashville is fantastic and on the ball because they got there quick and got the guy out of there.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I didn't even
see that. But yeah, I'm getting too old to have fights in the pit.
Like, I haven't seen that since I'm a kid. Like,
right. I mean, like, you know, some of the old shows at the old 930 Club in D.C. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw somebody get punched in the face at a show.
All right, so you do Nashville and then pretty much just drove over to Atlanta?
Yeah, so that, I mean, that was so screwy, right? Because for so long, you know, with the way they tour now, you're just like, you're great. You go to a city, you get a place, you stay, you sleep in, you wake up. Like, it was really weird to go to kind of the, you know, when other bands I like to see play show, they do it like that, you know, in the same area. And so you got to wake up and drive. And I'm not used to doing that with the Hold Steady. So that was kind of a weird dynamic to have to think about and plan ahead for. And, you know, get
on the
hotels
road
in different towns and be like, all right, I can't have too many beers too late tonight because I got to get up and drive in the morning. And
right.
But I think it was good because I think it was about 4 hours between Nashville and Atlanta. And the Drive-By Truckers new record had just come out, so I was able to get a couple listens of that one in, which is, I think it's a really good one. God, I hope they do another tour together.
Drive-By and Hold Steady.
Yeah, I missed that one back in 08.
Right.
I got to. Can I confess a story? I saw the Hold Steady open for the Drive-By Truckers, and I was in the front row, middle, and So when the Hold Steady were, we had all these drive-by trucker fans around us. And when the Hold Steady were over, I'm like, okay, somebody want my spot? Because I had the best spot. And they were begging me, you got to stay, you got to stay. And I go, yeah, I know they're good, but they're just not my. So I got heckled for leaving the drive-by truckers after before they started.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with the drive-by truckers before I started listening to the Hold Steady. There's so many bands I've kind of come to learn about because of this band and this community. So,
right. How'd you get into them?
The Hold Steady?
Yeah.
Hurley.
Sorry. Well, the Hold Steady's playing the Troubadour this weekend, and I was wondering, maybe Friday?
I have to work.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I could probably even Saturday. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's totally cool.
So I always, pretty much I always say the Hurley from Lost, which isn't really true. My wife and I know my wife a long time. We started dating when she was 16, and we've both been heavily into music. We both worked in the music industry for a little while. So we listen to a lot of bands that no one's ever heard of. And so whenever she brings me a band, like, I usually pay attention, but as you get older and busier, it gets harder. So she's like, oh, you got to check out the Hold Steady. And I never got around to it. And then Hurley from Lost makes that reference in the record store. And I was like, I really like Lost, and maybe this is like an answer to the puzzle. So
maybe I should finally check them out.
So I did, and then, like, it's just once you hear them, you're like, I love this band.
Right. And
that's always been something that, like, I tend to latch on to some bands, and, like, I'm going to be a fanboy. I'm like that with, I think we briefly discussed online, Too Much Joy.
Yeah.
That's how I was at 19 about Too Much Joy, and ironically, they're just doing a reunion now. They're putting out a record that they're crowdfunding, and they're playing New York for the first time in 15 years. So you'll see my posts online. I'm going to be a fanboy there.
Everybody's got that handful of bands that they, if they, you know, see that they're playing somewhere, you're like, I got to make that happen.
So what's your origin story, Mike? How did you get into the Hold Steady?
Project 8, the Tony Hawk video game.
Oh, wow.
Hoodrat was on that soundtrack, and I was like, wow. Oh, that's a pretty good song. Oh, it's good. Every time it came on, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I really like this one. And then it got to the point where I was skipping songs just to hear Hoodrat while I played the game. And then I was like, well, shit, I just need to start listening to these guys off the game. And that was
wow.
That.
Wow. So,
but yeah, it was Tony Hawk's Project 8.
And then once you dive into the record, because that would have been Separation Sunday, right?
And I think, the game came out, I want to say 08 or 09, so it was a little later than that. And I think they had just put out that live record.
Positive Rage.
Okay, yeah, Positive
right?
Rage.
Positive Rage. And I think I picked that. I think that was the first record of theirs I actually bought, just because it was a new one and it was live. And I was like, yeah, that's it. And it turns out, well, that'd be a great decision, because they are a band that live is the way to go.
So for you, it was definitely the music itself that got you into it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it took a while after listening to them until I ever got to a show. And so it was definitely more the music that drew me in than the scene. But once you start going and meet everybody, and I mean, that's what it's about, man.
Oh, absolutely. I love the community around this band. But to confess a little bit, like, what kind of drew me in is the story that's being told on Separation Sunday, like, because it is like a puzzle and you're like, I got to put this together. Like, I got to see what they're talking about. I've always kind of been a lyric guy, though. Like,
it's definitely in depth.
All right. So you roll into Atlanta.
End up, finding a great little dive bar just a couple doors down from the venue, the Cleveland Avenue Yacht Club. Dark, cool, dingy, beer and shot specials, right? You know, nine bucks for a Tecate and a shot of tequila. So, of course, that was – went there pretty quickly. And it was, you know, a block and a half from the venue. So it was great. The we did the sound check, and so we were going through security for the sound check, and they're like, "No confetti, no confetti. You can't have confetti in the building," right? Like whoever the manager of the building was going crazy about the confetti. So, like the guy at the door was like, "Yeah, just put it here. Take it on your way out after the sound check." So we roll out after the sound check. We're like, "Shit, we're just stuffing it in our shoes," right? So we literally had to sneak confetti back in to the venue in our shoes.
Well, it's lucky they didn't find it in your socks, like the song.
Because the guy was. That's right, God. Because that guy, he was not very nice, and it would have been a.
Is that the show they? One of the shows they threw rice. Is it that one? Because they must have not had confetti.
No, because we had, and then we all, you know, one of the social media groups were like, "Hey, they're being dicks at the door," so everybody hit it, right? Because there was a lot of confetti that night. So after the show, we go back to that same dive bar, right? And we're standing by the door, and the douchebag from the venue rolls in, and we kind of make eye contact. But I think it was Buddy. He was like, "Hey, man, how'd that confetti work out?" And the guy got real indignant. He goes, "Oh, I'll tell you how it worked out. We'd charge that band $300 extra to clean up the confetti. Why don't you ask them how it went?" And we're like, "Well, most of them are here. Why don't you ask them?" You know, we're just like, "Yeah, really, man?" Because that's, you know, there's a couple points where Gasper has the same haircut that I do, and you know, there's nothing quite like having all that wet confetti stuck to the top of your head at the end of the night.
That's kind of funny that it was a $300 fine. Like, if they would have told us that,
okay, right, I would have paid it. Like, would have been like, "Oh yeah, here,
100%." It would have just been like, "Yeah, no problem. We'll pay for the confetti cleanup."
Right, right. So I mean, if they go back to that place in Atlanta, they're just going to have to put like a quarter surcharge on everybody's ticket for confetti cleanup.
It makes me really happy, though, that there was confetti there, because I saw that post that, like, "Oh, they're not allowing confetti." I'm like, "Oh, that sucks. Like, it's kind of part of the thing, you know?"
Yeah, confetti's kind of like peeing in the pool. Once you get it in there, you can't get it out. It's just like, would you?
That's true. God. And then it's, you know, it's everywhere. It's I think I had a piece or two show up, like, Wednesday. I took some, you know, pulled something out that I hadn't used since, like, the last show. And, shit, there's confetti on the floor. How about that? You know, it just stays everywhere. And the funny thing about confetti, right, is, like, when you're watching the new people that are just starting to get to their first show, and they're just not quite sure when the confetti should be going, and there's always, you know.
I was at a show a couple of years back in New York, and so I was fairly new to the whole study thing, but like I knew what it was about. I knew about the confetti and stuff, and this girl had confetti behind me, and I swear she threw it right at the back of my head. I got so annoyed, and I turned around, and her boyfriend was like, "No, nah, man, it's a thing." I'm like, "I know the thing. It just, you're not supposed to throw it at somebody.
It's up, not forward." So yeah, but the confetti's great, right? And you know, I think that the band appreciates the confetti some.
Right.
And because, you know, later on in Denver, like at some point there was like an extra bag that somehow ended up on stage and Craig actually picked it up. And at the end of, you know, Killer Party, he was throwing up little handfuls of confetti. It reminded us all of Rip Torn.
That's awesome. So there was a show in Brooklyn Bowl. I forget what year it was, but it was like the venue joined in, because on the last night of Massive Nights, like when you're getting ready to throw your confetti, they had shooters up in the ceiling. Awesome. And I was like, "Oh, you want confetti?"
Yeah.
It was everywhere. And we're like, "Ah, it's pretty cool."
Yeah, they probably weren't charging extra cleanup fees.
Well, they never get to shoot them off because the Knicks never win a championship. So that's probably why.
So New York's usually pretty cool about it. I think the only request they ever made was like, "Please don't use metallic confetti.
Right.
Like, use the paper kind," which is like, that's fair. And that's the thing.
Agree.
Like, if the venue in Atlanta would have realized, like, there's a way to go about this, you know, you know what I mean? Like, but if you tell them no, they're going to do it anyway.
The guy, even after the show's like, "We charge them $300. Which is like, "Oh yeah, great. Good job. Well done."
That's great.
Oh.
All right. So that show starts off Hornets Hornets, it looks
like. Yeah, which is always a good start.
And I,
That was so fun. Well, we got our unpleasant breakfast.
You got your woos, yeah. I see it there
the night before in Nashville, but we got the woos in, you know, some good interplay back and forth during the woos, which was pretty funny. Oh yeah, that was a great one. And then another T-shirt tux one with the people bringing out the piano key ties.
Oh, nice. That's been intermittent. They haven't necessarily done that at every time.
It happened again in Denver too. And that was you know, similar to your confetti story. Someone had one that was an extra. They, you know, just kind of threw it up and back into the crowd. Whoever caught it just grabbed it and hucked it right at the back of the guy's head again. So, you know, I was like, I don't know what it is with people throwing confetti and ties at people, but it's always quite the good time when you're down front.
All right. Got a good amount of open door policy, it looks like. Spices,
yeah,
Heavy Covenant.
Right. Prior Procedure was always a good one. And then, you know, you can never go wrong with Slapped Actress at the end of the set. And we got to stay positive in Atlanta, which is great because, you know, it's always fun to see Josh chug down the shotgun, whatever it is he's shotgunning, just get everybody all riled up.
We're actually in the process of working out, hooking up with Mosh Pit Josh. We're going to have him on the show.
Oh, nice.
The in-depth interview of who is Mosh Pit Josh.
Yep. The people want to know.
Love us some Mosh Pit Josh. I got him, made sure I made him an extra woo shirt and took it out to Denver for him.
Nice.
Did you charge him $25?
So you figure. No.
I'm just kidding.
No, I figured, you know, if you're making your own merch, you might as well get Josh one.
So then we go to Denver. Now Denver is a full weekend, right? That was three.
Denver was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which was great. The Bluebird there is a really cool venue, small but easy to get around in. You know, it's kind of the tiered stairs. Type situation. It was fun. It was a great place.
So I saw the pictures from that. Like, just to fully explain that, it's set up like an old school theater, basically, right?
They
took the seats out or something.
Yeah, and I think for certain shows they put, you know, chairs back in on the tiers. But it's just, you know, big concrete tiers and stairs and.
That seemed to me like it would be weird at one of these shows because, like, you do tend to move around a lot, and, like, I could see that being a hazard.
but I think that, you know, the tiers kind of had rails in front of them, and then there was an aisle of stairs up each side. So it was didn't have too much problem getting back and forth or moving around to the bar or the bathroom. Right. But, yeah, that was – it was so – you know, it's on Colfax Avenue there, and there's just a bunch of great dive bars and place to hang out. So, I mean, there was a lot going on before and after the shows, which was fun. But we were, you know, we were like, all right, what are they going to walk out to? Because, you know, we were trying to figure that out. We actually hit it the first night. It was Joe Walsh's Rocky Mountain Way.
Oh, nice.
That was one of the ones where, like, I think one of the three nights are coming out to that. That's we're leaning towards that being the first night just because, you know, good guitar riff, a lot of fun. And the one that we thought might come that didn't was, you know, John Denver's Rocky Mountain High. That was probably just a little too mellow. And then the second night they came out to the Mountain Song, which all of us did not expect. And then they went back to the Lido Shuffle on the third night, which had all of us jumping around singing along.
Right. So, and they open up the weekend with Denver Haircut.
Denver Haircut. Very appropriate. Which we were like, they kind of have to, right? And they did.
Have we ever determined what a Denver haircut is, by the way?
No, no. And I'm not sure I want to know. I mean, if it has to do with drinking in airport concourses, it's probably a pretty shitty haircut.
I mean, we might have that covered. He does say, like, he shaved his head at the airport, right? So I think we're in.
The airport, in a bar at the end of the concourse. Said you're kind of catching me at a transitional time. I'm a bright light burning into a dark horse. She said I'll strap on the saddle. And I'm sorry, but the city's a cesspool. I've kissed and I've cackled with half of these jackals. Still couldn't get any jet fuel.
You got it. Have the Denver haircut.
It's us.
Yeah.
It's us.
So I've never been to Denver, man. Like, tell us a little bit about it. Like,
oh man, it's such a great city. So, you know, we got there. I got in on Wednesday. And it was the first night of the Stanley Cup game.
Oh wow!
So I found a sports bar and watched that, and it was packed, just wall to wall people. It took, I mean, it took probably 45 minutes to an hour to get a seat, and then, like, I just waiting for a bar stool to open up. And that was fun. They wound up winning that first game in overtime. So that was a lot of fun, and then. The next day, Thursday, the Colorado Rockies had a day game.
Oh, cool.
So we went to that because we get there, you know, we found a cool bar across from the stadium, had a few drinks and something to eat. Then we go to get tickets up at the box office. The upper level center field bleachers, they call the Rock Pile, $4 tickets.
Oh, wow.
No fees. Wow. No, $4 and you're in the
wow.
door.
Nice.
And then it was a day game, so we bounced around and sat in all sorts of different places.
Nice. That's kind of similar to – so, like, in New York, we go to Mets games because I'm in Queens. And if you want to buy tickets the day of for the bridge, you're basically not getting a seat, but, like, you're getting in the door. And City Field is like a mall. You know what I mean? Like,
are they still selling an extra surcharge for Bobby Bonilla's deal?
I don't know, actually.
It was just Bobby Bonilla Day the other day, wasn't it?
He was, yeah. I'll be honest, I go to the games to drink, but with my friends, I don't care too much about sports.
And that's pretty much what we did on that Thursday before the game. It was a good excuse to go drink beers all day. there are certain things you can shop for in Denver that you can't necessarily shop for in other places. So.
Oh,
did a little shopping.
You're talking about the ones that don't have a sign above the door. When I was there, none of the stuff had a sign above the door. I don't know if they do now, but
yeah, now it's all signed and ads and specials.
It did seem the one I went into was kind of like an Apple store. It seemed like too clean and too.
Yeah, all right. I mean, it's amazing. It's a counter, and they got it sorted by this and this, like. Colors and taste. It's like, Jesus, this is there are a lot of big corporate conglomerate stores that could learn a lot about the flow within the store on how to get people to the right place.
Yeah, so I mean, well, they've been at that a while now, right?
Long
like
time.
It's been legal there for a while, and we've only just made it legal in New York, so
right, and it's been legal here in Virginia for a year now.
Okay, so we're probably in the same spot where it's in that, like, it's legal, but there's no real facilities around to...
Right, for recreationally, they haven't approved or gotten all that done. There's medical sales here in Virginia.
Gotcha.
But no
so
rec.
Here it's just, there is no enforcement at all on marijuana. So, like,
right.
We're all waiting to see, like, is there going to be stores? Like, how's this going to work? What we have is head shops that sell, like, vape pens and hookahs and stuff like that. So they're right. All set up to, like, as soon as the licenses come out, they're ready.
They're ready. that's capitalism. It's fine. Right? It's the American dream, man.
Yeah.
So Denver's cool. And, you know, we a bunch of good places to eat and drink. And it's a great, great town for them and the way they you know, we're doing these residency type shows because everybody was excited to explore a really cool.
So I saw the Lifter Polar at Red Rocks. Do you guys ever think the Hold Steady will play Red Rocks? I don't think they get first of all their seats and,
it's a little big. I think they're. I'm not going to say there's no chance of it at all because next year. Well, but so hear me out. And in our drunken conversations before the show, we kind of kicked this around a little bit because, you know, next year is the 20th anniversary of the band, right? So they're going to want to do big, cool things. And I think they have really good memories of playing at Red Rocks as Lifter Puller. And if they do, you know, a Denver run, you know, maybe take, you know, do a like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and do one of the three nights at Red
Rocks. Pretty tight with Atmosphere, and Atmosphere does a show out there every year. That's when I saw Lifter Puller, they had opened for Atmosphere. So maybe.
Right. Or, you know, maybe they do a second tour with the Truckers. That the Truckers and the Hold Steady at Red Rocks.
That'd be good.
It definitely that would be a big attraction for.
So I've never been to Red Rocks. Like, is that a big venue or?
Yeah,
it blows you away.
It is, but it is, it's one of the most amazing places you'll absolutely ever see a show.
Is it like so? Like, what's the capacity of a venue like that?
I think it's over 5.
I don't know.
Is it over 5,000 or is it more?
I was going to say, is it
more?
Yeah, I was going to say somewhere between 5 and 7,500. Right.
Okay, so it's a pretty big venue.
I don't think it's. I don't think it's as big as, you know, with packing the lawn on the, you know, the shed type amphitheaters. Maybe it's 7,500 to 10. I don't know. I got to look it up. But it's mostly all GA seating, and it's. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just an amazing place. It's hard to. You'll never. Let's just say you'll never forget the first time you go to see a show there.
Okay. So this is the show that we got to see if this thing happens because I've been trying to travel at least once every year and like that'll be the one I go to.
That's
then.
It's got to be the best venue in the country. I mean, I don't if there's a better one, I don't know what it is.
I think it is. Like it's probably my favorite place that I've ever seen a show. But I've never been to the Gorge in Washington, and I've heard that's
awesome.
Also something that's pretty amazing.
Okay,
but yeah, Denver was fun, man. I would. If they play Denver again next year, that's definitely going to be on the list of, I think I got to find a way to make that trip work.
Yeah. It's been so tough too. Cause like there's through the group, there's always tickets available and you're like, you feel the pull, you know, where you're like, maybe I can go.
You know? Right. And then, you know, you start to hang out with a group and they're like, oh yeah, I'm going. Sure. Let's, you know, and you start to get other people in your group that are going, and you're just like, shit, I guess I gotta go.
So which of the three nights in Denver?
Was the best?
Yeah.
I mean, the third night was crazy. The opening band was so funny, right? The opening band was called the Nuns of Brighton, and they were all dressed in nuns' habits and played Clash covers, and it was just like a lot of fun and high energy. I think it was the third night. I mean, it got certain songs to start the encore. It had Crucifixion, Cruise, and Resurrection to finish the set.
Oh, nice.
What else was in there? Sapphire and Magazines were both in there on the third night.
All right.
Yeah, I think of those. The third night was my favorite.
All right. Now, which of the three cities was the best?
Denver.
Okay.
Well, and I think it may be again. I don't think I'd be that quick to answer if we'd had like three nights in Nashville, right?
Okay.
I think part of the reason Denver was such a great city because you had time to explore it and really kind of figure stuff out, right? Because I got in Wednesday, shows were Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I flew home on the red eye Sunday night. So I had all day Sunday to dig around and explore too, and found some really amazing art installation over by Mile High Stadium. It's just crazy trippy and nutty, right? It's this group called Meow Wolf, and it's this convergence station thing that they got going on. And it's like this huge warehouse. It's like four levels, 90,000 square feet. It's got this whole story behind it. But in a nutshell, it's like you get off the elevator when they take you up to the, I guess it's the third floor, third or fourth, wherever it is they drop you off. You walk out of the elevator and you walk out, and it's like you're walking into a world that's like a combination between Blade Runner, Total Recall, and Avatar. Right? It is the most weird, crazy place, and you know, stories, and it was really cool. It was fun just wandering around this huge place. You know, running people. Oh, hey, how are you? That was a great show last night, right? You know, people wearing Hold Steady shirts and all sorts of stuff. Apparently, that Sunday, the same time I was there, Bob Weir was there with his family.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Because Dead & Company had played at Folsom Field in Boulder on Friday and Saturday. That same weekend, the Hold Steady was in Denver, which made some of the afternoons a lot of fun at the bars and ball, because you had a big group of both Hold Steady fans and Deadheads milling around Denver doing all sorts of
That's a hell of a combination, man.
they both have dedicated fans that fan bases and nobody else understands.
Right. I had a bunch of high school and college friends that living in around Boulder and Denver, like, hey, man, I got an extra ticket for Dead & Company if you're in town. I'm like, I would love to, but I got other plans. Maybe next year.
So it's funny you say that about Nashville, because I remember thinking, like, I had a good time at the show, and it probably is because it's a one-off night, and you're kind of trying to get in as much as you can, and to be fair, I was doing a lot of drinking, but it felt like it went by quick, and the crowd did not seem to be as enthusiastic as I've seen them at other shows. So right. I was like, maybe they just don't like them too much in Nashville.
Well, I think if you compare the one night at the Brooklyn Bowl versus the three nights that they did in the Basement East back in 2019, that theory absolutely plays out, because, you know, that crowd there that was the same people for three nights was into it. And then the people that were just there the first night, they were like, oh, that's really good. Maybe I'll have to come back tomorrow night or the next night. And you had time then to sleep in a little bit, recover. You'd had three beers too many. Or a late shot at tequila at three, right? And explore Nashville some, right? But that's when this was such that Nashville Atlanta thing was so weird, because you didn't have that downtime, really.
Right.
It was wake up, hop in the car, check in the hotel, and let's get
that
it going.
It's weird they didn't take a travel day. That's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I think when they originally planned those shows, if I remember right, wasn't there supposed to be a bus? Wasn't there originally a bus that was chartered from Nashville to Atlanta and then the next day back, so that nobody had to drive?
That sounds familiar, yeah. But who knows?
Like a whole steady song to me.
Right. Can you imagine a whole bus full of whole steady fans going from Nashville to Atlanta not having to worry about driving?
That poor bus driver.
Oh, man. Ugh.
You want to talk about good stories, man. That guy would have had one for sure.
See, when you talk about like exploring a city around the band, like, and I totally know what you mean, because I did that in Minnesota. I felt like I did Nashville wrong, because I was with a buddy of mine, and he's a big fan of Nashville. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And he wanted to go to the Strip, to Kid Rock's bar, like, all the time. And
didn't do that.
I saw really quickly why you don't want to do that, because like that doesn't feel like it's real Nashville.
Yeah, but Nashville's one of those, like, if it's the first time you're there, you kind of got to go, right? I mean, you got to go have a beer or two at Tootsie's. You got to go into Robert's Western World, right? Some of the classic places there on Broadway. Your first time, you really should go and just see what an absolute utter shit show Broadway really is. But right. I don't think you could pay me enough money to get me into Kid Rock's bar or the Florida Georgia Line place. Not a chance, man.
Yeah, see, we spent so much time at all those places, and like, if you haven't been there, what it is it's fun. It's a ton of bachelorette parties, a ton of them, and like, you know, so every girl in the place is like, woo, you know, we're at a bachelorette party.
It's all about the woos.
Exactly.
It all comes back to the woos.
So
back
initially, like, this is fun. But then you realize, like, I'm waiting five people deep for a beer. And even the bands, like, the bands that are playing each floor are not really bands. They're like the locals, just this is their job. They're going to do cover music, and they're going to take tips. And, like, so you get to talking to some of them. And the one girl was like, yeah, I'm a forensic scientist. I'm just working my way through school. And it's like, oh, so you're not like a band trying to make it. Like, all right, I get it.
That's you know, her version of being a stripper to get through school, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's kind of a little bit of a letdown, you know?
But there used to be a great dive bar kind of, if you went down the end of Broadway and made a left and go, it was over by where that bombing was a few years back. And so it's done and it never reopened. It was called the Beer Cellar and it was in a basement with real low ceilings and it was dark. And it had like, you know, like between the taps and what they had in bottles and cans, they had like 200 different beers and it was decent food, great jukebox. And it was, that was kind of my escape when after, you know, with people that, oh, I want to go see Broadway. I'm like, yeah, fine. We can go there for a little while, but then we're going to this place I want to go to. And that's where we'd always end up.
Yeah. Oddly enough, like my favorite part of like exploring Nashville was we went to Jack Daniels and that was a pretty good experience. Yeah. Like there's a whole story behind Jack Daniels that I did not know. And I was pretty impressed with. If you haven't had a chance to go see it, go see it.
But, yeah. And then with the Brooklyn Bowl, there are a couple places real close there over in that neighborhood that are kind of fun. Cool. I know a bunch of people went to the sports bar right next door that has the patio that overlooks the baseball field, like Home Team or something like that. But we ended up – there's a German-style beer garden just about a block away called Von Elrod's. You know, big picnic tables, bunch of draft beers, sauces, you know, that kind of food and stuff. And it's just a big open – loud, fun place with a bunch of really good beers and, you know, also within a block from the venue. So that's another plus to that Brooklyn Bowl in Nashville.
The other thing that struck me about Nashville is they have this really weird thing going on with the scooters. So in New York, we have city bikes, right? And people are renting city bikes and going all over the place. They have something similar with these like scooters. Like when I say scooters, I mean like if you
picture the Limes.
Yeah, like the type of scooter like a kid would like – kick with his foot, but these have motors on them.
Oh yeah, and they'll get up to like 12 to 15 miles an hour.
They fly, right?
And
yeah,
when you're a little intoxicated, they can be a little dangerous.
Well, that's just the thing. Is like you can go to any corner and just you're on this app and you rent a scooter and you're off. But like it's a city, so there's all these drunk people riding around on scooters, and you're like, oh, someone's gonna die. It's crazy. And then like when they get rid of them, they just kind of leave them on the corner
and everywhere.
It looks like somebody's over. like lawn, like their kids just dumped a bunch of scooters on the lawn. It was very strange.
Right. Back to, and us, all us folks who grew up in the 70s and 80s totally get that vision, right? Like, where are my friends? I don't know. You ride your bike around until you see the house with like three or four bikes laid down on their side in the front yard, and that's where everybody is, right? I mean, that's kind of what those scooters remind me of, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I was just going to ask, do you have any plans for the future, Mike? Like, what cities do you have planned out next?
Well, let's see. I'm not going to L.A., but I'm definitely planning on coming back to Brooklyn for Massive Nights. I've already arranged transportation and lodging for that weekend. Just waiting for the tickets to go on sale.
Yeah, I'll definitely be at those as well, so we'll hook up for sure.
Yeah, found an Airbnb in Greenpoint not too far from Lake Street, and I'm taking the train from here up to New York, and by buying the ticket so early, it was $62 for the round trip.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I'm not doing LA, but definitely head to Brooklyn. And then, let's see, what other shows do I got coming up? I got a ticket to see Bob Mould here at a local venue, in October. Nice. Yeah. I've never seen him, on his own before, so I'm excited for that. And then, I've really gotten into that Billy Strings kid lately. Yeah. That kind
I
of
saw
jammy,
you posted about
trippy
the stream,
bluegrass
right?
stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So he's doing like a 3-night run in Asheville Halloween weekend. So planning on going down to that one too.
Cool.
What else? Ryan Adams is touring. I want to see if I can go see him on one of those shows. I had a ticket for when he played, Radio City Music Hall back, was that in April or May? No, it was May. It was mid-May, and I had some stuff come up, but I couldn't go, so I was kind of bummed about that one, because I think he played like 2.5-3 hours.
Gotcha.
Oh, wow.
How about you, Mike? What concert you got coming up?
I'm working some country ones, so I'm not doing any of my old-time concerts. I'm working some country ones coming up. So I got the Duran Duran and I got the Doobie Brothers coming up that I'm working.
Doobie Brothers should be some fun, man.
Yeah, that should be fun. Yeah,
I'm actually going to see my next show is the Black Keys, Jones Beach, and then after that, the Mountain Goats are playing Webster Hall. So
beautiful! Oh, wow. They're playing in Richmond, but I think it's a Sunday night. What are some of the other ones I want to go to? The Flaming Lips are playing in Charlottesville, but it's a Tuesday night. Like all these great midweek shows. I'm like, oh man, you're killing me. Yeah. And then I do have some of my college buddies and I are going to see the Gaslight Anthem in DC.
Oh, sweet.
Well, that'll be good.
Like in early October, I think.
Nice. So as you may know, we like to ask our guests to recommend a band that they think are Hold Steady like, or maybe a band that every Hold Steady fan should know. We call this segment...
And the Meatloaf to the Billy Joel.
So, Mike, do you have a band to suggest for consideration?
Sure. So, I don't know how good of a recommendation it is, because I really haven't listened to them much lately. So it's this band called Near Beer. They got a record coming out, I think, in a few weeks, sometime in July. So there's some out of LA, but the lead singer, they used to be in this band called the Henry Clay People that I really kind of liked, that I saw they were like the 12 o'clock band on a small stage at Austin City Limits Music Festival one year, right? And they went out there and just tore it up. I was like, this is great, man. These kids from LA just out here at noon in the hot sun rocking it.
We had dreams. They were better off dreams. So you kept them away from me. But the time will come. Yeah, the time will come. And we'll need them. Generation caught in between. Oh, we're just a generation caught in between. You said that someday they'll meet us.
And it's, you know, lyrically, it's similar stuff to Hold Steady, right? Like, kids just with messed up lives and terrible relationships and drugs and alcohol and what the fuck is going on, right? And so
all the good stuff.
All the stuff that we've identified with because we grew up through all that crazy idiocy. So, you know, now they're in their early 30s and their new band is called Near Beer. And they've got a couple songs out that I really just haven't had time to dig into much lately. But a cursory listen showed, let me think, I'll probably like them. So yeah, I think that's the next new band that I'm going to try to dig into and see if they strike me. Dead Drummers, and then the one that I think had come out a few weeks ago was called Mixtape Generation, which all of us are part of.
All right, man. So we want to thank Mike for being on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And
thanks for having me, man.
No problem. It was a lot of
fun. That was fun.
In our next episode, we're going to be talking to Mosh Pit Josh, so make sure you check us out for that. Get an in-depth look at who is Mosh Pit Josh. So we wanted to invite you to check us out on K2 Radio on Live 365. We recorded a segment with them. They were kind enough to invite Mike and myself on to talk about the Hold Steady and this podcast. Segment plays twice a day, 8 a.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Pacific. It's going to play through the end of the month. It's kind of fun to talk about the Hold Steady with someone who hasn't really heard of them before. And we even got to play a few songs, so hopefully we did the unified scene proud. So please check us out on that as well. Just to remind you, you can find us on social media. On Twitter, we are at Hood Rat Recap. You can find us on Facebook at The Hood Rat Recap. And you can send us an email at thehoodratrecap@gmail.com. We also started a Discord account, The Hood Rat Recap, but we're still figuring out what Discord is, so give us some time. But again, I'm Gasper. This is Mike. That's also Mike. And all us guys and all you guys, we are all The Hood Rat Recap.
A car party sounds good.